Okay, so I'm about to interview Sholto Copley, star of District 9 and The A-Team. Howlin' Mad Murdoch from The A-Team. I'm in the studio on my own. 4:10 in the afternoon. Eloise is gone. Don't know what's more important than this. And it should be fine, but the last time I did an interview on my own without Eloise, it was the Mark Kermode incident, and I didn't have his microphone up, and it was a terrible disaster, so we'll see. Now, I have just tried to call the hotel and couldn't get through to his room, so we will we'll try again. Where are we? We're here. Okay, let's have a go.
Good afternoon, the hotel.
Hello, yes, I just called to speak to Sholto Copley. I'm from Absolute Radio, and I'm supposed to be doing a phone interview with him. And I know he's not in room 512, but I think maybe that's where his PR might be. Would that make sense?
Let me have a look.
Thank you.
I don't have anyone in room 512 at the moment. And who was it you wanted to speak to?
It was Sholto Copley, C-O-P-L-E-Y.
Okay, let me just...
Thank you. Sorry to be so vague.
No,
I've been given a post-it note without much detail, I'm afraid.
Okay. If you could just bear with me for one moment.
Of course I can.
Hold, I can try to find out.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
What a nice lady. I'm going to blow my nose now. I always have to blow my nose when I get nervous. Don't ask me why. I don't know. He's in England, you know. I wasn't allowed to go and see him in his hotel. He said the stories. He said what happened when I went to Paul Stanley's hotel. It all got a bit messy, you know, and... we don't really talk about it too often these days. Good music, good funky bass. Lovely flute there as well. Me clicking my thumb knuckles. Oh, his name's spelt Sholto, but apparently it's pronounced Sholto. I've got that information from Wikipedia.
Thank you so much for holding. I'm just going to transfer you to our press junket manager, who would be able to tell you.
That's great. Thank you very much for your help. Okay. Thank you.
Sorry, could I just take your name before I put you through?
Yes, it's Ian Lee from Absolute Radio.
Ian Lee. Okay, just one moment.
Thank you. That's my posh voice. Do you like it? It's wicked, isn't it? That's how I speak normally, I'm quite posh. Don't know if you knew that. Well, this interview may not happen. I came in specially for this, by the way.
Thank you. Sorry to have to come back to you again.
That's all right.
So I just spoke to the press junket manager and he said, although it says there is no one in 512, there is.
Oh, okay. It's the secret room, is it?
Yes.
That's brilliant.
I didn't want to put you through and you're not getting on.
No, that's very kind. Thank you very much.
Thank you. One moment.
Thank you. We're in. It's the secret room.
Hello?
Hello, this is Ian Lee from Absolute Radio.
Hey, it's one moment.
Hey.
You through.
Thank you very much.
Hi, Ian.
Hey, is that Sholto?
It is, hey, Sholto. How are you?
And have I pronounced that right?
You have. Well done.
Can I say, it is the coolest name in show business.
Well, that is very sweet of you. Thank you.
It's true. How are you doing, man? You're right.
I'm good. Thanks. Yeah, I'm good.
You're in England. You're in London right now. Yeah.
I'm in London, and it's snowing, and I'm loving it. I love the snow in London. Nobody else here seems to, but I'm loving it.
Well, the thing is, as soon as it starts snowing, all the British people go, oh, "It's bloody cold. What are we going to do?" You know, it's winter. It's kind of what happens from time to time.
They do. They seem. It's now the second time that I've been here. When the snow's here, and they seem surprised again.
Yeah.
And then the more research that I've done, like, it seems like it does come quite often, actually.
It does. It happens. I've just been to Marks and Spencer's, a big store, to buy some thermal underwear.
Yeah.
And they'd sold out. And the lady actually said, well, what do you expect, you idiot? So, anyway, I hope you've wrapped up warm. And
I did. I knew it was going to be cold and snowy.
You tourists know more than us. Hey, listen, man, the A-Team.
Yeah.
You were in that.
Yes, I am. Isn't that amazing?
I still can't believe it.
My parents are still quite shocked.
Did you grow up watching it?
I did. It was my favourite show as a kid.
Yeah.
That's why my parents are so shocked. That's why I'm shocked.
When you grew up watching it, who did you want to be in the A-Team, though?
Well, It's funny you say that because I actually did have an A-team gang in school. So I played the A-team already.
Yeah, go on.
My favorite show, my favorite characters were Murdoch and BA.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to be Murdoch, but I couldn't because the gang was my idea and I wanted to be the boss. So I was Hannibal.
Yeah.
Because I could tell everybody what to do.
Yeah.
And some other guy was Murdoch, and he actually Facebooked me when we were promoting the movie in South Africa. And he's like, I was Murdoch in your group, and I invited him to come to the premiere we had in South Africa. It was kind of fun.
Oh, did he come along?
He did.
Oh, good sport.
Yeah, yeah.
We had an A-team kind of gang, and I was Hannibal, but only because I had sort of black leather, fake leather gloves like he had. So I would put the gloves on and pretend to smoke a cigar at the age of like 9 years old, you know. So I've got to be honest, I have to lay my cards on the table. I have a 10-month-old boy, so I haven't been to the cinema for 10 months to the very day.
Right.
So I've not seen the A-Team, so I'm delighted it's coming out on DVD and Blu-ray.
Yes.
Is it how you imagined it? The finished product, when you sat down at the end of the shoot and you watched it, were you pleased with it? Were there any bits where you thought, oh, my God, what were we doing there?
I'll tell you this. I focused because I'm a filmmaker as well, and I come from that background before I was acting.
Yeah.
I've made a real conscious effort going into the movie to really just focus and be an actor rather than a filmmaker. And also, because I was such a huge fan of the show, it literally was my favorite show growing up. So if I could have had my way, I just would have tried to do everything as close to the original show probably as possible. So I switched that side of myself off, really, kind of judging, you know, decisions that were made and should they have changed this or should they have not changed that. I really put everything I could into, I want to do a Murdoch that I would like as a fan and that I think can appeal to people that have are not familiar with the show. And when I watch the movie, I feel like I did that.
Mm.
You know, in terms of the overall film, it's very difficult for me to say because now I'm connected to it and, you know, how I feel about it overall. I definitely feel overall that the spirit of the original show is there as a fan. But in terms of judging specifics, I sort of removed myself. But I definitely feel like the spirit of the original show is there.
Now, you mentioned you are a filmmaker.
Yes.
How easy is it to kind of put that to one side when you're on the film set and go, right, I'm just going to be an actor and I'm going to do what that man says and go where he tells me to. Is it easy to do that, or are you kind of chomping at the bit?
I sometimes do chomp at the bit, I admit. You know, I definitely have moments where I do that. District 9 was a lot easier for me because Neil and I have a very long history and creatively are very much in the same kind of on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
So there wasn't really any chomping to be done there because of the history, because I knew that world, because I was really inventing that character. Yeah. I was improvising my dialogue. It was a very different way.
Was all your dialogue improvised?
Yes. So it was a very different filmmaking style. You know, this A-Team was much more traditional where this is kind of... Although, again, they let us do an enormous amount of improvising.
Yeah.
And Joe Conahan, the director on A-Team, encouraged that and would come up with ideas and even lines in the spur of the moment. So it was a lot of fun to make.
You mentioned District 9, which I have seen, and is an awesome film.
Oh, thank you.
Me and I went with two of my friends, and we came out, and it was so good, we didn't speak for like 5 minutes after the cinema, after we came out of the pictures, just letting it sink in, because it starts off as one thing, goes somewhere else, and at the end it's in a completely different place. When you were improvising, were you doing that on camera, or was it all worked out beforehand, or how did that work?
What we had was we had a script which outlined the story, and it actually even had by the end, not at the beginning of the process, but by the end there was sort of dialogue written for my character, but it was never intended to be used, and we didn't use it. What we used were beats, so we knew in this scene these two things or these three things had to happen.
Yeah.
We had approximately this amount of time. Inevitably, the scenes would run longer, and they, you know, we left it into the edit for them to have to cut to the main points in the scene. Or sometimes we would, you know, we would improv something, and then Neil would say, "Okay, guys, that took 6 minutes. Try and, you know, focus. Do this again. Do that again. This was wonderful. Drop these three things." So it was quite demanding in that way.
It sounds an exciting way to work, though.
But it was very, very artistic. It was a fantastic way of working, and it just kept you completely in the moment. I had developed a kind of a story arc because I knew we were shooting drastically out of sequence.
Right.
And I needed to keep the I wanted to get the arc right. I wanted to keep the intensity right. So I'd actually built in my trailer. I had like a whole chart of kind of knowing what level of intensity I was going to be at in each scene, etc. So it was in a very unique way of making a movie.
It's a work of art. It is genuinely one of those few movies I think you can say is a work of art. And it bubbled under for a while and then sort of exploded. Is there going to be a sequel? Because the ending is sort of set for a sequel, isn't it?
Yes, although that wasn't the intention. You know, Neil is very much an artist. It wasn't, you know, made. It was distributed by a studio, but it wasn't made as a studio movie where the idea was, you know what, let's milk this franchise for all it's worth kind of making. It was very much an artist making a work, and Neil at the time even was undecided whether he would ever want to make a sequel. Subsequently he said he would be interested, and I'm definitely interested, but exactly when I don't know. You know, again, I think the powers that be would be quite keen to just sort of again just try and churn them out as quickly as possible, but it's more for Neil, I think it's more an artistic thing and something that he would come to when he was ready.
Come on, man, they should make little Vickers action figures.
Yeah, all that sort of stuff. Again, I think they didn't realise how big it was going to be. Certainly that's what we heard. If they knew it was going to be that big, they definitely would have, you know, pursued the merchandising and all of that. But it was too late once they realised what the film was doing, you know. Although they are starting to make some things now.
And I'm guessing now that you are part of... I'm assuming the A-Team is a huge machine that you are a part of and will keep rolling on, because the first movie was so successful. There's got to be more, hasn't there?
You know, I think so, but I'm not sure. I'm really not sure at this point. It's done huge business in some territories and not as huge in others.
Oh, really? Okay.
And it cost an enormous amount of money to make, you know. So I'm not sure. I haven't heard word yet. I think they're waiting, though, for all the DVD sales and everything to be in, and then they make a call.
And how did you find the accent? Because I forgot, you know, because I've seen clips of the A-Team, and I forget that you're South African, and you've got quite a strong South African accent.
Yeah, I grew up doing different accents and dialects. It was something that I was very fascinated in. Actually, the first person that sort of inspired me with that was Dwight Schultz when I saw that Murdoch character.
Yeah.
So I grew up making little movies and doing little sketches, little, you know, almost comedy sketches or sometimes little action pieces, and very often doing different accents, playing very different characters. So that's the kind of acting that I'm interested in.
And what next? What, have you got anything lined up?
I do have, but I can't tell you what it is.
Is it top secret? Have you got a top secret movie role?
Totally awesome movie role.
Come
on, man. And that's not the Men in Black thing. There's like Men in Black out there that I am talking about Men in Black, but that is definitely not confirmed. It's just something that we're looking at.
But there's something else.
Yeah.
Give me a hint. Go on.
I can't.
Me a hint. Come on, man.
I can't. I'm sorry. I would love to because I love it so much. And I read 100 scripts to find this puppy.
How exciting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so literally, I'm not joking, 100 scripts, and it
was
the best thing I found, so I was like, yes!
I bet you got sent, after District 9, a load of shit to read through, pardon my French.
I got I just got a lot of stuff, you know, a lot of projects, and it's hard to do, because District 9 was, Neil was a real genius, and is a genius, and kind of, so it's hard to sort of, when your first movie gets that sort of response.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like, well, poor bugger's only got down to go now.
Shalto, listen, I should let you go. Just sorry, one more time. What was the name of that secret project you're working on again?
I think it's called Secret Project.
Oh, I nearly got it out of you. Hey, listen, man, enjoy the rest of your time in England. Thank you so much for talking to us, and you know, best of luck with everything else you do.
Thanks for having me, and don't be surprised by the snow next year. It's going to come again.
Thank you, Shalto. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.